Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And perhaps the most confounding aspect of COVID-19 is its unpredictability. It affects every system of the body, respiratory, blood, neurological, and more. It can be fatal. Some patients need ventilators to breathe. Others show no symptoms but shed the virus, infecting other people. Still, other COVID-19 patients have flu-like symptoms for a week or two. And then there are the long haulers or long-termers who gather by the thousands in online support groups as month after mind-boggling month they show little sign of getting well. The Cleveland Clinic's Dr. Christopher Babbage says they're a mix of younger and older patients whose coughing, chest tightness, shortness of breath, and fatigue can last well after they test positive. Among them is Dr. Scott Krakauer, a 40-year-old child psychiatrist from New York who had chills and fever for nearly 2 weeks in April before testing positive. He closed himself off in a room at home, was eventually hospitalized, saved, really, by Dr. Robert Glatter at New York's Lenox Hill Hospital, who gave him life-saving steroids that opened his throat. But 4 months later, he's still winded on short walks. Dr. Scott Krakauer joins us now. Scott, thanks, first of all, for being here. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling okay today. I think that the last few days have been doing pretty, you know, I've been a little bit more in the upswing.
Let's take you back to the beginning so people can understand swinging up from what. You know, what were your first symptoms? How did it start?
I started with intense chills, really, like the worst chills in my life, about a week or 8 days prior to losing my sense of taste and smell. It was so cold that I literally had to run into a hot shower. I wasn't really sure what it was, and I think I was just optimistically hoping that it was something else, honestly.
Well, this was very early on, April, not a lot was known, but when you say you as others did, you lost your taste and your smell, what is that? If you don't have taste and smell, what do you have? What did it feel like?
It was really a very unusual and bizarre feeling, and I still won't forget it to this day. You kind of just all of a sudden you're eating and you're trying to figure out what the food tastes like, and then you can't decide, and then you realize it doesn't have a taste, so then you eat more. That's what happened with me, to see if you could somehow find a flavor to it. But you could still taste like the sweet or the salty. And then after a while, whatever was remaining just sort of dropped off. And that happened over a period of like 2 days.
Talk about the cough. I mean, this seemed pretty violent.
The cough was very violent. It started off as like a dry cough, and then it started heating up in intensity. Within the 5 days later, I was coughing around the clock.
Coughing up blood?
So I started coughing up blood about 8 or 9 days later, something like that. It was just horrific. Every night at like 6 o'clock, I would just dread it, because I would be coughing throughout the day, and then the night would come, and then it was almost like a very loud barking cough, finally coughing up blood, yes.
It sounds like your throat started to close, you can't swallow, your voice got really high-pitched. Your doctor says he treated all this with a steroid. In your case, you have little kids at home, a wife. You quarantined yourself for their sake for how long?
We're quarantined for 5 weeks.
Wow.
I mean, it's hard to even talk about it still, but I just never wanted my wife or children to go through what I was going through. I mean, all night, just spitting up into the sink and coughing and coughing and coughing and retching. So that was really tough.
While this is going on, I mean, you talk about this, the nightmare aspect of this. You're conscious, I'm sure, of this at this point, that there are people going on ventilators. Was there a part of you, too, also thinking, oh, my God, what's next?
I would get fearful, like something could happen to me, especially when my throat was swelling. By the end, I couldn't really swallow, and I was starting to choke up my food. But what would happen is that I would feel better for a period of like 3 or 4 days, almost to the point like I felt like the illness was gone, and then I rapidly deteriorated again. And then out of nowhere, the whole thing spiraled down even more violent than the first time around. It would literally, like, my throat would start to swell and then I couldn't talk. So it was almost like I was getting almost like a cytokine rush to my throat. And then that's when I really just couldn't swallow or anything.
The cytokine storm, it's like the body, yeah, gathers everything to fight it off. Yeah. And instead it ends up fighting you. And also we should mention, you know, you're completely isolated in your quarantine and trying to, you know, talk to two kids, one who's 2 and one who's 4 months. That had to be emotional, you know, over Skype and things like that. I mean, just it seems like so Orwellian, just such an odd thing.
It was very hard for us, you know, talking about it or even going through all this is hard for me now. And I'm sure even for my wife or family, you know, the nights were like really bad. And, you know, we would be in the middle of like story time or something with the kids. And then I would just start coughing to the point I started choking. At what point do you intervene? Do you open the door? Do you call 911? Like, at what point do you make that decision? Mm. And then, you know, I can't just open the door because I'm coughing all over the place. So if I even left, I'd have to go with an N95 mask. Family eventually came to visit me, you know, from a distance in a car. I'd be out the window literally looking. And I was really pale at that point. I think I'd lost probably almost 15 pounds because I couldn't, you know, couldn't take down anything. And I think my family at that point and my wife even all felt like I probably needed to be in the hospital. I think any other illness, you know, you'd think that you could like walk out the door and go to the ER and get treatment, maybe get hospitalized. And this illness, you know, you have to think, okay, well, what if you do this? What if you infect? What if I walk through and I sneeze the wrong way and then my kids got it? I mean, there were so many factors and layers involved with this. You know, I was not doing well, and thank goodness I got the treatment and Dr. Glatter, and I improved a lot once they finally wound up on IV steroids. And I think that there was just a lot going on.
You did go to the hospital. You eventually test negative twice. And now here you are, July.
I was still positive in May. And really sick. And then I discharged from the hospital and I did well for like a week. And then I got sick again and I wound up on high dose oral steroids, coughing around the clock again. And there was a fear I was going to go back in to the hospital. My oxygen was starting to drop again. And then I just stayed like that. I was so sick for like a good 3 or 4 weeks, even after hospital.
So talk about that. You know, this was what makes you a long-termer. You're still sick. What happens now?
Now it's mainly, I would say, the voice and the swallowing and the shortness of breath. So, you know, like I had a good run of days. And then early last week, I started getting sick again, where I started getting a sore throat and a little difficulty swallowing, coughing a little bit, followed by lymph node swelling. But even if I'm like walking around for a while, I still am short of breath when I'm talking or when I'm doing things. I think I'm pretty positive overall. And I try to think, okay, I'm ready and I'm ready to go back to work and things like that. And then, you know, my friends and my colleagues who are in the medical field, I think just listening to me try to talk to explain why I should even do something, I think that they were like, Scott, come on. Like, you can't even basically hold a conversation still at times. It's really hard to know with this illness what cells it impacted and, you know, how long is it going to take to regenerate or to restore the natural body again.
Is this difficult for you to talk now?
Right now I'm okay, but I'm not going to go walking around outside because I can't, we run the risk that I wouldn't be able to speak still. So, you know, right now I feel okay, but I don't want to like jinx it because you know, in the past, you know, I felt good and then I started getting short of breath again, or I started having a difficulty with my voice or swallowing.
We're hearing about people who, you know, feel great. They finally have a good day. They go to the supermarket, then they have to go to bed for 3 days. They literally are that knocked out by it. And people who, you know, long-termers who have had delirium, just the strangest mental things happening. Do you think it's affected your brain?
I don't. Or at least I don't want to think that way. I guess one of my strengths is my denial.
Then let's forget about that. Forget about it.
I guess it keeps me, like, positive. Otherwise, I will say something, though. When I lost my sense of taste and smell, I didn't realize that my other senses were also dulled until after it came back. Everything else was like, I could hear better, I could see better. So I find it hard to believe that it wasn't, you know, it didn't impact the nervous system to some extent. It was almost like an awakening feeling when it came back. And it had been off for like 4 or 5 weeks of nothing.
Do you communicate with anybody on the long COVID support group on Facebook or on the Body Politics Slack? I think it's on the Slack support group. They have a page for victories, you know, people who have come out the other side.
I have not, because then you start wondering too, like they might say, oh, I was feeling good and then I was feeling bad. I don't want to necessarily know, maybe part of me. I feel like I want to keep getting better.
Well, Scott Krakauer, we thank you, first of all, for being so responsibly sick when you were sick, you know, thinking of so many other people, and just wish you well. I would love to hear back from you when it's completely gone. Can we make that date?
We can definitely make that date, yes. I think we're getting there, slowly but surely.
Dr. Scott Krakauer, child psychiatrist and now COVID-19 long hauler. He still has these terrible symptoms we've been hearing about since being diagnosed back in April. Scott, speaking to us there from Long Island, New York, thank you so much. And again, the best to you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.